Hello and welcome to The W Word with me, Anna Whitehouse, and the brilliant Kimberly, our resident expert, brought to you by Arla Lacto-Free, which is all about giving you the inner strength to do what feels good. You do you, babe. And the power to take on life's many challenges. We're talking about the small stuff. I am eye twitching right now because my kid kept me up all night, through to the big stuff, both which can be helped with a healthy dose of wellness. Now, I'm going to assume you've been following the story so far. If you haven't, why not? If not, a little recap. We've been catching up with celebrities and body confidence heroes in a bid to give the term wellness the definition that it deserves. So how do we do it? What are we doing? And I'm going to use the words deep dive. We're going to deep dive. I'm not David Brent. I am Anna Whitehouse. We're going to deep dive into things like inner strength, gut instinct, and key wellness trends. And I have got something quite hairy coming up for you. That is a teaser. Now, I've been joined throughout the series by our resident expert, Kimberly. Hello, Kimberly. As well as new special guests every single week. Now, I'm going to let you know who that is in a bit, but I want to introduce our first trend. Two words, goat yoga. Yes, it's a thing. Stick with me. Don't go anywhere because I want to introduce our next guest. It's one of the UK's, let's just say the world's biggest soap stars. She's an actress, a Dancing on Ice runner-up, and past I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here contestant. It is, of course, Georgie Porter.
Hi.
Hi.
Anna, thank you so much for saying I'm global. I mean, I think maybe someone in maybe Japan may know my name. So I'd say, I'd say that's global.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Well, my auntie Janet, when she heard I was interviewing you, she's like, please, please get me her autograph. And I've got a very frenzied WhatsApp message with her about how much she loves you.
I adore Auntie Janet. Please.
It goes without saying, you're a TV legend. You've starred in Hollyoaks as Teresa McQueen, I think from, is it 2008 to 2016? Yeah. And now you're back. 2020.
It's a big thing, really, kind of thing. Because, you know, Teresa's done quite a lot of things. She's been to prison. She's died. She's come back to life.
Just a few milestones.
I mean, do you know what was funny? I read the script once and it said, she flatlines. And I was like, what? I don't want to, it's not even contract that I die. So when I heard that the next time she came back to life, I was like, the best day of my life. And so coming back now, I'm really excited because I think it's been like 4 years.
Does it feel like you never left?
It feels like everyone's still there. There's still the big family. It's great. So much fun. Why did I leave?
But obviously, like, you're on screen a lot. The camera's on you. Like, but when the cameras go down, this is quite a big question. How are you actually feeling, Georgie?
Oh, I mean, sometimes I wear like outfits what I would not wear. Teresa is so out there, you know, she's a bit nakey wearer sort of thing, like clothes that are just...
A what wearer?
A bit nakey clothes.
What, like, is it?
Naked.
Oh, okay. I'm so old.
You know, like a little bra. Like, the kids these days just wear bras.
Just out.
Is that the kids with a Z or that's just the actual kids?
I don't know what's cool anymore. What's cool?
I don't know.
Kids with a Z. So she's quite younger than me, so she gets away with a lot more. But then obviously I'm the one actually wearing it. So when it's cut, you're like, oh, it's me now. I'm in underwear.
Where's my onesie?
Yeah.
But how do you feel though, in terms of, like, you know, the cameras switch off? Like, what's the, you know, we can talk about Teresa, but Georgie.
Yeah. So I would say personally, I'm actually okay with it. And I actually feel quite confident. I think it's because I always have done, no matter what shape or what I'm sort of wearing, I always feel like I am what I am, if you know what I mean. So I kind of have confidence by accident, I'd say.
That sounds like confidence. Yeah. There's no accidents there. Yeah. Now, there's no denying these are difficult times. I don't know about you, but I can't see another email from a CEO just saying, I hope you're okay in these unprecedented times. No, I'm not. Some people have used meditation, exercise. I wonder how many people have turned to goat yoga in 2020. It is a thing. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Kimberly, but the trend apparently started in a small little farm in Oregon. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, in my mind, I'm like, how did that come about? Was somebody just doing yoga and a goat just jumped on their back? I don't know. Either way, we're not gonna analyze it. It's a global trend now. It's massive. I've actually tried it, and I have to say it's brilliant. Apart from when the goat needs the loo, and I'm gonna leave it at that point. this is a sentence I never imagined saying to you, Georgie. Has goat yoga been on your radar?
I have never, ever heard of this until now, which is incredible. Also, it points to so many questions. Like, I don't know about you, if I've gone to a little goat sanctuary and they start chewing your clothes. So if you're in yoga clothes, what if they just chew your bra off? Like, what if they just start nipping at your clothes and you just... Stood with the goat on you.
One of the big problems is that they end up kind of nibbling on your yoga mat and like pulling on your clothes.
No, you've got to pay extra for that.
How are they trained to like?
They're not trained.
They're not trained.
No, they're just goats.
So one could just be sat next to you and you just start breathing on them like yoga breathing, and then what do they do back? Like, do they go?
So it's kind of... Sorry, can we just have the goat impression again?
But I could do it better actually. I'll be better.
That's a sheep. That's definitely a sheep.
Oh, is that a sheep? Okay. I don't think I've been around many goats.
Well, now's your chance.
But I can't see. Yeah, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know quite how a goat, because they stand on top of your back while you're doing all the moves. And that was something I was going to ask you, Kimberly, is apparently goat yoga kind of gives off the cuddle hormone, oxytocin. I've done my research. Can you just talk us through, is that true? Is it something that actually happens when a little goat's nibbling away on your ear as you're doing the downward dog?
So the first thing to say is that actually goat yoga has only been around for about 4 years, so there isn't any evidence on it as yet. In theory, what they're saying is that you kind of get this lovely combination between the benefits of yoga, but also being around very cute animals, right? And baby goats, they are adorable.
Are they baby? Or
yeah, they tend to be the smaller ones, because bigger goats tend to be a little bit more rambunctious.
Well, they've got like, they've got horns, haven't they? Like,
yeah.
What if you're like, what if you get absolutely rammed by a goat and you're in the most flexible position, you're doing really well and it just ruins it? You're like, oh, it's doing so well.
Not the most calming vibe. So they tend to be baby goats because they're kind of small and inquisitive and cute. And it ends up being, and most people end up sitting down just like petting the goat, feeding the goat, maybe talking to the goat. So the idea really is not that you're getting these the profound and established benefits of yoga, but it's a distraction. It's very calming. They're very sweet. And so it can be just a nice way to kind of get out of your own head.
Do you think you could work it with another animal? Because I'm not a fan of the goat. Do you think we could...
Kitten yoga? Why not crocodile? Why don't we go dangerous? Why not?
The most stressful wellness.
You just lie on their back and hope they don't snap you.
I think you pop that on the market, babe. And,
yeah, good luck.
See how that goes. I mean, the thing is, I just think I'd lose concentration doing yoga with another animal, like jumping around on my back. Like, would you give it a go?
Yoga's hard enough as it is. I literally would just lie there with a goat, actually, and just think, well, I've done really well today.
We should just repackage it as stroke a goat.
Stroke actually. A goat, yes.
Stroke a goat, babe.
Goat. Stroke a goat, yes.
Cute. Not a stoat.
No. What is that little
again,
rat?
Again, not very relaxing.
But do you do a lot of yoga? Like, do you practice yoga?
Yeah, I do yoga. And then halfway through, I'm always like, oh, I'm so bored.
Like, you're just waiting for the seated positions.
Yeah. Well, I love the end when you lie down with your palms facing the side. That is my favourite bit. You try and go to bed and try and do it. Svasana?
Svasana, yeah.
Svasana. Do you do that with a goat? What happens with a goat?
I suppose the goat would...
Lie with you?
Yeah.
They do nuzzle. They actually nuzzle. I did it in Amsterdam, goat yoga, and it was on a farm, trying to obviously replicate the Oregon farm where it all began. And there were lots of people on their first dates at goat yoga.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's quite a punchy first date, that, I think.
Yeah. You know? I guess it's quite an interesting first date, right? Because you kind of get to see how the person responds to unusual situations.
I mean, but also on a date, not only are you trying to be looking sexy, surely, in the attire you have to wear, then we're going to introduce a goat to get involved as well and to see how you can cope with this.
But the cuddle hormone is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is something, it's quite easy to sort of laugh around it. But actually, I think, you know, at the time we're sitting in right now, 2020, I think, you know, I'd take a cuddle from anyone.
Yeah.
A goat. Yeah.
Anyone.
Cuddle me, please. Anyone. Yeah, just, I agree.
You know, I think it's because I think you can always think of wellness as sort of this big thing that's not accessible. And actually, I think when you do introduce, whether it's a goat or a stoat, whatever animal, you know, it can feel just a bit more relaxed. And actually, some people who might not do yoga might think, oh, that's something that I can do because that's quite fun, you know, because yoga can feel quite scary to some people. They're like, that's a thing that wellness people do. And it's like, no, it's a thing people do.
I'm sure it does make it much less intimidating, right? If you know that there's going to be lots of cute little goats as a distraction from how you feel about yourself or what's happening for you, then I'm sure it is much less intimidating than going into, you know, a big central city yoga studio where everybody's already a professional, that kind of thing.
And it reduces stress as well, apparently, not just yoga, but like being around animals. I mean, you probably know more than I do, Kimberly. Like yoga kind of, if we're feeling tense at the moment.
I mean, unless they're scary animals.
Not the crocodile.
Not crocodiles. Crocodile.
We can't really casually bring that in, sorry.
But yeah, so animals and the natural world are associated with, you know, improved wellness and feeling calmer and more relaxed, as long as, of course, you're not frightened of them, and maybe not if they're kind of nibbling on your shoe.
In these unprecedented times, 2020, having a goat nibbling on your shoe, to be honest, anything goes right now. So Georgie, as a TV star, in case you need me to remind you that that's what you do, and by Auntie Janet's news, how do you find kind of wellness? Like, do you find your wellness tips online? Do you find on YouTube magazines? Like, where do you get your inspiration from?
I think personally I'm really lucky that I have got like some of the best friends that I've grown up with since school to always, you know, like sort of keep you in line a little bit. When I first sort of started TV, I was probably a bit like, oh, everyone's looking at me in this room, I'm so famous. And then they turn to me and go, what are you doing? And I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'm not that famous. So having friends that are honest, and also like my family, like my mum, is really important to me, and like what she thinks. Because other than that, I don't really care what other people think. But it's what my mum's like way of thinking and how I've put myself across, or things I've done. If she's proud of me, then I'm always like, oh, great.
I remember my granddad said to me once, he was like, it doesn't actually matter what's going on in your body, kind of your mind, as long as your eyes are kind of twinkling. Like, people look at you, and he said, I can tell when you're happy or feeling well when your eyes are twinkling. It doesn't matter what your age is, etc. And I think that's really true. But you have a manic schedule, like you've got a lot on your plate. You must have things that you do just to keep yourself kind of going, I suppose, and not burning out. Like, what do you do?
I am a very energetic person, and so I need to exercise. And I think for like my mental well-being as well, if I've not done a little run or done sort of a little dance in my bedroom.
Talk me through the dance. What do you do it to?
Really hip-hop. I'm just like, I put on some music, and I've always done that as a kid, like danced around the living room, like, you know, there's no space, but I'll dance on the settee and I'll jump across the table. And mum will be like, stop it! The things are flying everywhere! I need to dance, mum!
Can you paint the picture, the exact song? I want the exact moves. Just talk me through it.
Okay, so I'm saying, like, as probably younger 90s R&B, Nelly, hot in here. You know, those videos where you're watching the girls and you're like, yeah, I'm with you.
It's a kind of movement, always like keeping up, but not actually a specific, it's not like a specific thing you do, like, right, I'm going to do Pilates or I'm going to do yoga. It's more like, I'm just going to get in my bedroom and
I'm freestyling.
Around.
Yeah.
Freestyle.
I mean, I think nowadays people like film that, whereas I've just always done it freestyling without that. But, and also like with people, like, so if like a spin class for me is incredible. It's like running through the air, and it's like a weird, like, group effort as well. You know, you do it with a class, which I've missed sort of being in these times.
You never know how to say it, these unprecedented times.
Not being able to sort of bounce off people in a class and, you know, spin together. I love spin. Yeah.
What other kind of trends have you tried, and maybe failure is a bad word, but like not taken on board? Have you tried things that haven't worked out, or tried things you've gone, right, okay, that's great?
I'm usually pretty good at stuff.
There is the confidence that we all want. Actually, I'm really good at everything.
I mean, I'm pretty good at darts. I'm pretty good at bowling. I'm pretty good at the things that would surprise you. Just pretty good.
Plastering.
all these things. I think because I like to go full and be the best that I can be. So I usually,
But I mean, you know, I'm glad that you're really great at everything. I'm not bitter at all. I desperately wanted to be on Hollyoaks, but I'm not going to let that come through.
There's still time.
But I suppose that takes quite a lot of inner strength. Right now, I don't know about you, but the world isn't... If we look back, if we look forward to the world from 2019, summer 2019, we could not have predicted where we sit right now.
No.
And I'd like to have a moment just to talk to you about how you've coped with the last 6 months in the context of the pandemic. Like, there's only so much, I'm sure, Nelly, that can kind of get you through what we've all faced. So what have been your coping mechanisms and how have you got through that?
I think there's also been uncertainties for people with jobs and obviously, you know, things like that. So I think sometimes you've got to go, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. You have to learn to love the simple things. And I learned to slow down a lot because I am very fast. I'm very always like, what's next? And I'd sort of stress people out with, what's next? What's next? Like, some of my friends are like, George, you're a bit much. I'm like, I'm much. What do you mean? I'm much. I've got a 9-to-5, George, and you're a bit crazy. Okay, I get it. So sometimes they would tell me I'm a bit much. And I learned to just settle, learn that you don't have to do everything, you know, throughout the day. You can literally just sit there and stare at a wall for a bit. And
that's, I think that's meditation. Let's just package it up.
Yeah, that probably accidentally is.
I mean,
what
tell
I
me
do.
If I'm wrong, Kimberly, because I don't want to get any of this wrong. Kimberly's like, no.
Not quite. But I think the point that you do make really well is slowing down is so important, especially for people who are a little bit perhaps more energetic, slightly more frenetic. But also the acceptance. Acceptance is a huge part in managing our well-being. And one of the, we think that suffering really happens when we can't accept the circumstances, you know, when you're pushing against reality and you're wishing things were different. I wish this hadn't happened. I wish that wouldn't happen. When you can get to a place of acceptance, then you're in a much better position to just deal with what's happening rather than also fighting for a different reality that you can't control.
We came through the parenting side and the kind of working side of the pandemic by just putting it on paper that we're doing an 8-hour working day. We're doing 3 hours of homeschooling. We're doing like 12 hours of primary caring. That's 23 hours in a 24-hour day. And that was the point where I was like, that's 1 hour to sleep and eat, basically.
Yeah.
So it really helped put it down that it's not us. And I think that is quite a big, I don't know about you, but quite a big step within whether it's wellness, whether it's mental wellness, physical wellness, and actually going, hey, what do I need to get up every day? Yeah. You know, and I think this is coming back to your job, like that inner strength of, I don't feel it today, but I have to get on set. How do you find that?
There are some days when you think, oh, I feel like sometimes you can wake up sad, I suppose, or you'd be like, I wasn't as happy as I was yesterday. What is it? And sometimes you fight to go, what can make me happy? And then sometimes you think, I feel a bit glum today. And I'd just say it to friends on set, guys, I'm a bit glum. And you'd have the people with you to go, oh, don't be glum. Or they'd go, I feel a bit glum too. And I just always think talking and saying what your feelings are and not to be scared to go, I feel angry today.
Yeah.
And just saying it. And then I feel like your friends, or even not so much friends, maybe your colleagues might go, well, why do you feel angry? And I just love the fact that I always like listen to people and want to know. Maybe it's a bit nosy. Maybe I'm just interested in people's lives in a nosy way. But
it's not just all one long path of happiness. I think that's it. It's kind of like we're searching for this like wellness utopia, and it's like, no, it's kind of this journey. And I think I saw Brené Brown said that it's the difference, I think, in terms of how we connect between empathy and sympathy. Like sympathy says, well, at least, you know, you're okay in your house with, you know, food and a garden in the context of the pandemic. But, you know, like empathy sits in the hole with you and says, Georgie, I'm sorry you're having a rubbish day.
Yeah.
I'm here. Here's some Jaffa cakes, cup of tea, and it sits in the hole with you. And I think there's a really big difference in terms of how we connect.
And I think as well, like sometimes, maybe it's being an actress, I just sometimes like to be really dramatic and just cry in the mirror and go, oh.
In the mirror, I love it.
And then you get it out, don't you? You cry, you look at yourself and you're like, what am I doing? And you laugh, because then you go, is this what everybody does? to know.
So I think what's really important is just we need to be able to say that it's unrealistic to just be like manically happy all the time, and that shouldn't be the goal. Psychologically, we know exactly as you say that sometimes you just wake up, you know, on the wrong side of the bed, and there doesn't need to be any reason, and there's no need to panic. You don't have to be like, oh, why am I sad? It's all part of the richness of life, right? Yeah. It's all part of just the way that the brain works, the way that emotions work. It might be something that just passes and passes you by, and if you're able to just allow it to be, then you don't need to let it knock you sideways, and you can carry on.
And it's the difference between the small things and the big things. Like, we're sort of, I think, programmed to be like, these are big things that you need support over. Mental health support, well, you need to find a good wellness routine. You know, it might be grief. It might be dealing with a pandemic, for example, that none of us could have foreseen. But also it's the sort of day-to-day small things that I think chip away and can become a big thing if you don't deal with them. Mm. Are there any like small things in your life, in your career that you've kind of, whether it's anxiety or whether it's feeling you're not enough? I mean, obviously you've said earlier that you're great at everything and your confidence is there. So I don't know, I'm kind of asking the wrong person here, but I'm...
No, do you know what? There is things where like, I've got a great life and everything like that. So I think I should be happy all the time. But for some reason, sometimes you do have anxiety. And sometimes I think when I did The Jungle, all of a sudden, it propels you to a different sort of fame. So only certain people would watch Hollyoaks, but then everybody would watch The Jungle. So I could hide in Harrods because nobody really knew me there. But when I did The Jungle, like in Harrods, people were like, oh, it's you. And I was like, oh, who is it? What do you mean? And
it's my auntie Janet.
Yeah, she's following me.
Georgie, I'm here.
Yeah. So, and it shook me because I thought, oh, I'm like famous. But and I would get anxiety because then I'd think, right, I've got to look a certain way, I've got to behave a certain way in public, I've got to be this person in public. And then I kind of moved to America and nobody knew me and I had a great time.
Come back to I'm a Celebrity quickly?
Yes.
Because what I loved about you on that program was I think you did lose the sense of you were being watched.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Like there's a real honesty to, I think, how people come across in, you really see to the core of someone. And I loved, you were talking about your childhood quite openly on I'm a Celeb. Could you, I said that with a Celeb, S-L-E-B, I'm a Celeb.
Schlep.
Could you talk to us a little bit more about what you were sort of talking about on the programme?
So I think it was, we were all sat around the campfire, we were opening up about our childhood, and I think I remember saying that my mum is literally like the be all and end all of me, and my grandma, I lived with her, so I grew up with my grandma and my mum, and she, I just always said I'm gonna be a dancer. Like, I didn't believe anything else that I was gonna be. So my mum was like, right, okay, this is what you want. She's just the most selfless person, she's incredible. And I remember she was selling paintings to get me to ballet school. She did everything she could to make sure that I would get my dream. And so I always look back on it and I think everything that she's done, like, I don't know if I could do that for someone, but she did so much. And then I ended up getting a scholarship. So everything she worked for and everything she did worked because she gave me the confidence and the belief that I could be whatever I wanted to be.
Well, it's like she transferred her inner strength to you in a way, which is, I think, probably the biggest gift.
It's incredible. Yeah, she put like all her heart and soul into what I wanted to be. And she's a really talented artist as well.
And it's clear that that's when you talk about your confidence, but it's clear that what she showed you was just how worthy you were.
Yeah.
And so that when those challenges come, whether it's from being well known or whether it's social media or whatever, then actually what you've got is this fantastic foundation of knowing, because she showed you how worthy you are. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What I've loved about talking to you is that you haven't like put specific names on things. You're like, oh yeah, you know, a spin class didn't fix me, you know. It's almost like lots of little things built up to create this kind of protective layer around you in a way, and I think this is why we're doing this podcast, is kind of decode what wellness means, because it feels like something quite distant. It feels like something that you tap into or pay into almost, when actually it can be, you know, Kimberly was saying earlier, it's like daily practices, small things you're doing. Your parent just giving you confidence. It's lots of little pieces of a jigsaw.
I think you're right, and I think you do have to, and I don't think you can see them straight away when you sort of go through these little bits. I think afterwards sometimes you sit there and you go, oh my God, that was so great when I did that. And I remember the feeling of like the joy and happiness I had at that time. And I'm going to bring that back, or I'm going to try and do a little bit more of that, or try something else, see if I get that happiness in that. And it all comes together eventually, I think.
Mm. Yeah, it's all kind of building up on previous good experiences, and getting to know yourself and getting to know what works for you is really important.
It feels like exercise has been a big one for you throughout. Yeah. There's spin class or like bounding around your bedroom. From how when did you start doing that?
Oh, literally, like, I think my mum's got a video of me of like 3 years old doing the running man, but like nonstop for hours. I think her battery ran out on her camera.
And I suppose that was my question to you, Kimberly. It's like, I think people do put wellness on this kind of mantle almost, like it's on a podium, like, okay, that's something I have to do. It's like another thing to do.
Yeah.
Have you really seen what Georgie said, that it's kind of lots of little things? And how would you see wellness in the context of what Georgie said?
I think there's so much that you do really naturally, which fits into certainly what I would think of as a kind of more integrated sense of wellness. And we know that movement is so important for well-being, and not just because I think we think about movement in terms of aesthetic a lot, but actually so much about our mental well-being in terms of managing stress, releasing endorphins, you know, balancing hormones, all of that sort of stuff. And literally just well-being, because humans evolved to move, that we evolved to walk and run distances. And just those sorts of movements are really important for our well-being as well. So it seems like you had, right from the beginning, doing the running man in your living room, the being instilled with the power of movement for your wellness.
You know what, Georgie, this is going to be your wellness memoir. We're writing it for you.
I'm like taking this in, like, you know me better than me.
It's like, you're in. I think, because I did a little Google earlier, and the Google definition of wellness is the state of being in good health, especially as an actively pursued goal. I nearly read that as an actively pursued goat, which would be a very different thing. Can you imagine the poor little goat being actively pursued by one of her crocodiles?
Just chasing it.
But it just feels, that feels really restrictive to me. Mm. I think that's what I feel talking to Georgie, is that she's kind of opening up to lots of little things. But like that description, that definition doesn't work with me.
No, and I think it's the idea that we have to actively pursue something, like pursue it to where? What's the end goal? How will I know what I've got there? Actually, we should be thinking much more about individualizing the way that we pursue or try to think about our wellness and our well-being. And that needs to be about, you know, people's resources, their abilities, their interests, where they are, like, you know, geographically. It all needs to be individualized and made as accessible as possible.
So I suppose, Georgie, what does wellness mean to you?
I would say, I'd say be able to open up to people, me personally. If I feel like I can't talk to someone about my feelings, then I'll think, oh, that's not good, and I'll keep it inside. So I think opening up and talking to people, for me, helps my wellness. So I think being really chatty, I suppose, is what I would say.
Chatty and dancing in your bedroom.
Chatty and dancy.
Now, this podcast wouldn't be happening without Arla lacto-free. I don't know if you've tried the soft cheese, but is, as my mum would say, divine. It's a triumph.
Did you not bring it in your bag today?
I don't know. I don't know what the sort of COVID guidelines are at the moment with
of
cheese.
Sharing cheeses.
I'm so confused. but sometimes, like, lactose is harder for people to break down in their gut. So I've found it a real lifeline at the moment, because I'm getting quite personal here, but I have a little bit of a dodgy tum. Mm. It's all much better now.
Yeah, good.
There we go.
Glad they fixed it. Thanks.
Sharing is caring.
Yes, always share. Always chat about it.
But talking about your gut, like, how many times have you gone with your gut? Like, you know, we hear these phrases like gut instinct. And I know you mentioned earlier that you went to LA. Like, that must have been quite a big decision.
I'm really forward with my gut instincts. Like, I love the thought. Sometimes when you're like, this doesn't feel right, I go with those situations. And actually, my mum's always said, go with your gut. Like, if you can feel it down here, it's not right, then usually it's true. And I always take that in. And so when I moved to LA, literally, I just went there to see if I liked it at first. and I loved it. It's incredible. The sun shining. Everyone's beautiful. Like, I'd just literally stand there and watch people walk past, like, wow. Nobody really understood me because I've got this Manx accent. So nobody knew what, like, what I was talking about.
Just on Sunset Boulevard, just staring at people.
Staring at people going, ayah, yarai, ayah, you look amazing. So, like, I had a great time. Nobody knew who I was as well, so I could be myself, like, 100%, which, you know, I'm being 40% myself right now.
Wow.
Never go full Georgie.
But take me back to that moment where you just went, right, okay, my gut instinct's right at this moment. Was there, everyone has that moment that changes, it changed your life.
Yeah. I wasn't scared as well, so I literally just went, moved there, had a flat, lived there for 2 years at least, bought a car, didn't really get a job. That's fine. You know, not everyone can smash Hollywood on their first time, but it's always going to be there. And that's why I think, you know, you can't be scared to try. It's not necessarily that you're failing if you come back, because you can always go back and try again. Or actually, maybe it wasn't right, or maybe it isn't the time for me. There's other countries to go to. And I do think, for some reason, in my gut, New York is a thing. Whether I'll just, you know, go there and have a great time for one day, and that was the feeling, there's just something.
What I love though is you said it wasn't like, you didn't see it as failure in any way. No. So you never had a moment where you thought, you know what, this was the wrong decision. It was just like moving along to the next country or city.
Yeah. Well, I just find that I have such a good time no matter what I do, because even if it's a bad day or a bad time, I'll laugh about it. For example, like, I got papped running around Runyon Canyon in LA. And I was wearing this little tiny bra and these little tiny leggings, and I got papped, and I looked at myself and I thought, oh, that's not like a Hollywood babe. Like, and I looked at it and I thought, bless me, I try so hard. And other people probably think, oh, look at that. And I just think, oh, look, like, I'm trying. And I, yeah.
But what you're talking about is so important. You're actually like a wellness guru, because
I'm upgraded.
Secondly, like, when can you officially become a guru? Because I think it is one.
Because what you're talking about is self-compassion, right? Yeah, you didn't look at those photographs and have a go at yourself, or be critical, or say, oh, I should have, you know, whatever, you know, trying to change the reality. You were like, oh, bless. And that's basically self-compassion, knowing that, you know, you were doing your best and we're all human and you were caught at a particular time and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's honestly, that's really great.
Yay!
So when you want to set up your crocodile yoga and be like a guru.
I take it all back. Crocodile yoga was going to be the thing.
Kimberly, standing on crocodile's heads. No time.
But Kimberly, is there like a science behind gut instinct? Like, is it a thing?
It really is. Yeah, no, absolutely. So we have lots of, you've heard about the gut-brain axis, the gut-brain relationship. And there's this kind of one big nerve that connects the brain to the gut, and it's a communication nerve. It's you know, about 80% of the information, if you think about it as a motorway with 10 lanes, about 8 of those lanes are going from the gut up to the brain. So there's always this information from your body going back into the brain, but it's also the main nerve that deals with stress. But we also think that there's so much information that your brain is taking in all the time, that you're not consciously aware of, but it's being stored and managed and organized. And that when you have your gut instinct, it's about something that's been embedded that you haven't remembered consciously, but your body is just giving you a little bit of a clue and trying to get you to remember it and come back to it.
So Georgie, would you say what Kimberly said kind of rings home for you?
That makes like so much scientific sense. Like, you've literally explained it in a way that, oh, actually, I've not been making it up. Like, because sometimes you think it's a fake thing that your belly has to tell you what's right and wrong. But you've like, you're incredible. You're a genius.
Write that memoir, is what she's saying. Go with your gut, darling. We'll buy it. Two purchases right here. Well, I suppose we've spoken about a lot today. I mean, a lot. I don't think I could even go through like the agenda of what we've covered, but there were sort of lots of animals. A stoat, I think, came up at one point. But I'm kind of keen to just see how kind of inner strength, gut instinct, and just wellness in general, how they're all interlinked. And obviously the pressures you've been under, I can't even imagine. Like, just you talking about being papped running makes me feel really anxious. Like, but do you think wellness has played a part in, I suppose it's the wrong word, keeping you level, because I don't think anyone's ever really level, but keeping you perhaps grounded in a way.
Yeah, I don't think there's any rules of how to cope with certain situations, maybe in life for everyone. So I think the way you've got to cope with stuff is you just have to, like you said, you've got to give yourself, you know, cut yourself some slack sort of thing and say, you know, we're not heroes. We're not all trying to be whatever, the goddess of the world. We're not that. And also, I just think laugh at yourself a bit and, you know, not everything's normal. Or
what is normal?
What is being papped? Is that normal? Like what is normal? So, yeah.
Well, this is the new normal. So welcome, my friends. I have really enjoyed this. I sound that surprised, but this has been great. It's been such a good, I mean, there's been no goat, stone or stoat unturned, left unturned. I went into this thinking we were going to really be talking about wellness in quite a like serious way and actually realised that there's so much more to it. It can be what you make it. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I think I'm glad I've spoke to you two about it, because it has literally opened my eyes to even more like scientific reasons and, you know, what we think about these things and goats. And you two are now my best friends and you cannot get away from me. So, sorry.
Even though we are at a 2 meter distance, the friendship. The friendship is so there. But I often find just talking to other people, like you were saying earlier, that really resonated. Being with people, talking to people, whether, you know, it is a mental health expert or whether it's just someone on the street in LA, and you just say, "You look great,"
and they don't understand a word I'm saying.
The Georgie Porter way to wellness is here, and she'll be writing her memoir hopefully soon. Well, that's a wrap. We're done.
Aww.
Thanks, Georgie.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me be here, and now you two can't get away from me. I've got your numbers from the call sheet.
She will be stalking me, as my Auntie Janet will be stalking you. But don't worry, Kimberly and I will be back next time. We're going to be bringing you a whole new W word episode, W for wellness.
Yes, not what I was thinking.
No. Let's not go there, Georgie. But thank you so much for joining us. This podcast wouldn't be possible without Arla Lacto-Free. And you can go to Arla's social media. Just check them out. You can get all the information there. And we'll see you next time for a whole new episode. Bye.
Bye. Bye.